Such a meditation lets walk with God through his word. And the word is to be found in the New Testament in Luke, Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and we're going to start reading at the 13th verse. Thank you. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I've no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" This is how it will be with anyone who stores up for himself, but is not rich towards God. Amen. Let's continue our reading then at Luke chapter 12, verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Amen. And may the Lord bless to us these words from his word. Amen.
Now, I'll need to watch this morning and not get too excited because I don't have a headset, so I've got to stick by the microphone. And I guess David on the camera will be delighted this morning because you might be able to get shots without me moving all over the place. So I think this is a ploy, actually, to keep me in the one place. You know, there used to be years ago when I was the minister here in this pulpit, there used to be years ago a little ploy with all the Beatles. Because they used to, when you get into the pulpit, the thing that used to annoy me intensely, when they got you into the pulpit, they would put the hand over and you would hear the snake going across. That's him in. Keep him in the pulpit, because this man's dangerous. If he gets out the pulpit, we didn't know what will happen. And then, and I used to tell you the truth, when they were singing that hymn, I used to put my hand over and with nobody would hear, I would unlock the pulpit. I always felt they might want to get out. They might want to throw something at me and I might need to get out. But see, anyway, I'm tied to the microphone this morning. That's a digression, I know. I'm sorry. This morning, the theme we've chosen is freed to worship. This morning is harvest and yet there is nothing on the table. For some people, their harvest means nothing on the table. Stop for a moment and think about how we started our service this morning. There was something beautiful about the area where we live. Did you notice it? Do you know where it was? Sheena's been asking you about things around the church. Could you recognize that place where we were filming? It wasn't a package. It was actually real. We went out and filmed it. And the farmers, we actually knew the farmers. It was the Kirks. And they were cutting the harvest in one of their fields. There's a beauty in that. Can you remember the first scene? Just the little cottages in the distance. And then these big machines against the ground, taking the harvest. Man and nature working together. But sometimes it's the greed of humanity. Those machines looked so big, didn't they? And they were big. Remember years ago, my dad, as a farmer and a ploughman, used to say to me, "Albert, what I feel sad about everything in the world today is when I see the farms and I see these huge tractors and these huge machines and they're," he thought, "they were raping the land." He said, "they're just greedy, taking as much as they can." And then he would say, "but when I had my horses, we just took what we needed and the horses put something back into the ground again." There is a picture there of a world that is so caught up with getting things, getting as much as we can, and not putting as much back as we should. This reading that we have this morning in the scripture speaks to us of the continual struggle in our modern world to have things, to live with things, and to have our value in things, or to be willing to give things up. And to have a value not in things and materialism, but in relationships. And that's what Jesus is really talking about here in these passages that Douglas so beautifully read this morning. And what did you think about the rabbi this morning who joined us? Wasn't he spot on? Wasn't he absolutely spot on in helping us to understand something about idol worship? Because we have all been tempted in that area, haven't we? Because that's how culture drives us to that place. So keep all that in your mind this morning as we think about what is it that's important in our lives. Is it giving or is it taking? The harvest. What are we harvesting? What are we giving back? If you don't remember anything else, hold on to that this morning. This week's been an interesting week in the life of the church. It's been actually very busy. And a huge thank you. I want to pay a great tribute to the people who have worked so hard over the last week, in fact, the weeks before, in planning this week of exhibition in the church, the week of the Book That Changed the World exhibition under Church Without Walls. Some of you met way back, do you remember? We met way back in June to plan this particular week. And then we came up with the idea of the Book That Changed the World. And you know, it's been a fascinating theme to have used. And to see how it is connected with so many people. Children, very young children coming in and connecting with it. And older people. Each area has something very positive and challenging to say to us. As you come in, the first area is inviting us to think about, and the whole thing is based on this wonderful theme that you can see through the Bible, because there is a great theme woven through the Bible, and the theme is this: freedom. God has made you to be free. Why? Because God in his very nature is free. That's what that means. Remember when Moses goes to the burning bush and he speaks to God, and God says, and he says, "Who will I tell them who you are? What's your name, God?" And God says, "I am free to be who I will be. I am free to be who I will be." And when God makes us in his own image, he makes us in his own image so that we might be free to be the people he has called us to be. And that's quite a wonderful idea. And so when you come in at the door there, you're challenged to think about choosing to be the person God calls you to be. And the Bible continually brings these choices to you. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will choose to serve the Lord. Making choices. This scripture continually, this book continually leads us to these places. And so, and then this week, the sermon, we're thinking about this area here, being free to worship. And if we're free to really worship God, then we become free in ourselves and free to live our lives, free to serve, free to live, and free to celebrate. So these areas have all been connecting with people as they've been going through the exhibition this week. Douglas couldn't wait to tell me when I met him on Tuesday morning. He said, "We had a wonderful time here on Monday evening." Then he went proceeded to tell me that one of the anchor boys had come in, and this area here that's called celebrating and is meant to represent heaven. Nobody told this little boy this was heaven. He actually said, "This is heaven." He knew it was heaven. And then he said, "And my granddad just went there last week." Connecting with children who recognized something that was real for him. And other people have spoken of the different areas of having helped them to reflect upon their life and to see something in a new and different way. This morning, for a short time, I would like us to think and look and reflect upon this whole area of worship. God calls us to worship him not because he is a megalomaniac and he needs our worship. God in himself is everything. He needs nothing from us. He needs nothing from us. He does not create us in order to get something back. That God is not into idol worship. That's not what he is. God frees us. God calls us to worship him so that we can be free. But the trouble is, we put other things in God's place. And we misunderstand our needs. And we think life is for living for our needs instead of understanding, as the rabbi said, the way we live is so that we can be fulfilled. God gives us these needs in order that we might be fulfilled. We might fulfill what he has, the purpose for our lives. And when we begin to worship God, we're drawn out of ourselves and we become free. And in becoming free, we see the needs of others and we begin to want to serve other people. And that becomes then the crux of our lives. You know, this week as we've been celebrating this book that's changed the world has also been celebrating the life of Steve Jobs, who produced another book called the iBook that also changed the world in some way. But you know, Steve Jobs in some way speaks and reflects and talks about some of the teaching of Jesus, even although he doesn't realize it. It's fascinating. If you've listened to Steve Jobs, his university speech that he gave to Stanford University to students in 2004. Now, Jobs doesn't claim to be a believer. And here is the man who has produced the iPad and the iPhone and has created a world of materialistic things. And yet his friends who knew him said that materialism, material things didn't matter to him. What he enjoyed was creating something that he thought was beautiful and good. But it wasn't for the material things. But yet the problem is that this material thing has become an icon. And it's become the thing that people want and worship and define themselves by the product. It's fascinating, and there's a whole area there we can begin to think about and mull over this week. But the fascinating thing about Jobs was this, that in speaking to the students at Stanford, he gave this 15-minute address, and he just told them three stories. If you want to see it, you can see it on my blog, and you can read it on the blog under iTalker. And I've got a clip of the speech he gave. But the point he makes is that materialism isn't what it's about. And he speaks to these students and he really says to them, the most important thing is fulfilling your life. Finding what your life's all about and fulfilling it. So often we get so caught up and you get distracted from the things that really matter and the thing that we're really about and the things that he talks about following your dreams. But for Christians, we talk about following Christ. What is God calling us to do? What is the purpose he has for our life? Because he has a purpose for all of our lives. I believe that with all my heart. And the scripture tells us that. God has made you. God has made you to worship him, but he's made you with a purpose. And he's got work for you to do. Don't get distracted by it. Don't get distracted by other things. Get your focus on what you're meant to be. And begin to live your life to the full. And with that at the heart of your focus. Following Christ. Jobs, in his three talks, he gave these little stories. He spoke first about his life and how he started off and how he was disregarded by his natural parents. Then he goes on to talk about how his natural parents had put a condition attached to his adoption. And the condition was attached that the person who would take him would have to decide that they would put him through university, but also these people would have to have a university education. But the strange thing is that the conditions that were attached to all these things. And remember, the rabbi was talking this morning about real love never has conditions attached. Remember that? How often do we attach conditions? So let's keep this in mind and with the story of Job of Steve Jobs. They couldn't find the people who had lined them up and said, we will take this child and we're going to fulfill the conditions. Then they had attached conditions to their conditions. And the condition they had attached was, we want it to be a girl. And Steve Jobs was a boy. And so the highly educated graduate said, we don't want him. And do you know what? Next on the list was an ordinary working class couple in America who had no university degrees behind them, who had nothing, but do you know what they had? When the phone call came and said, would you take this baby? They had what? Unconditional love. They said yes. And they took the Steve Jobs baby. And Jobs always saw them as his parents and his mother and his father. There was no one else. They were his mother and his father. But they had heard this about the conditions about about the university, and they didn't have a lot of money. And seemingly they put so much money aside so that he could go to university. And Job talks about that, how it preyed on his mind that he was spending his mother and father's money at university. And so he dropped out. The fascinating thing is that when he was 20, he set up the Apple Macintosh computer company out of his father's garage. And 10 years later, it was a great successful company. And then the second story he told them was that he got sacked from the company that he had started. And he felt absolutely failure. He felt he had lost everything. And then he realized he could begin again. And so he was talking to students about having your focus and starting and beginning again. And the fascinating thing is then he began again and he built up another company, Pixar Company, and the next computer company that grew and was very successful. So successful, his company was growing and the Apple company was going down the tubes. And Apple needed something to revive him. And guess what? The Apple company bought over Steve Jobs' company and Steve Jobs became the top man again in Apple. He told the third story about dying and facing death. And he said, when you know you're dying and you're facing death, the most important thing is to think about each day and how important each day is. And he talked about going into the mirror and looking at the mirror, and if after 2 or 3 days you're doing the same thing and you're bored and you're sad and you feel absolutely unfulfilled, he said, life is too short to waste doing things you don't want to do. And he said to those students, do follow your heart. But for a Christian minister, I'm not going to say follow your heart, because that could take you into idol worship. Follow the Lord. Put him at the center and begin to see the difference we can make in lives of other people and also in our own lives. Jesus told a parable about the man who said, I've got everything and I need more. So I'll need to build a better barns and a bigger ponderosa in order to take all the stuff that I've got. And then Jesus said, you know what? The Lord said, you fool. You've missed the point. Tonight, your soul will be required of you. And you have to leave it all behind. And it's fascinating that Job says the same thing to those students in Stanford University. He said, forget about things. Forget about your house and how nice you want it. And forget about all these things, because you know what? You'll have to leave them behind. Don't be afraid of losing things. That's what he said. Don't be afraid of losing things, because you know what? You're going to lose it anyway. That might cause you a lot of pain this morning as you stop and look at your favourite picture you've got hanging in your wall. Or that wee thing that you hold on to, you know, when you're clearing out the cupboards. We all do it. We clear out the wee drawers of our desk and we say, I'll hold on to that. I'll hold on to that. Are you ever going to use it? No, I just like it. Could somebody else use it? Well, maybe, but I like it. So can you actually play that guitar? No. Are you ever going to play that guitar? No. Well, why don't you give it to somebody who can play it? I remember a member of our congregation, he's no longer with us, Neil Young, had a guitar. And he said, I can't really play it. Would you like it? And I took it. And I gave it to Stephen and we refurbished it. And it's a Hofner guitar. And it's a nice guitar. It's not worth a fortune. But you know what? We remember it because it was given to us by Neil. And it's all been refurbished. And Stephen sometimes takes it out and plays it in a gig. He could have just kept it. And it would have done nothing. Building things and hoarding things that you've got to leave behind? Or building things for the kingdom of God? And then Jesus comes and he gives his story to his disciples and they say, "Oh, what will happen?" And Jesus goes on to say, "Well, look, why are you worrying?" Jesus said to the disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens, they do not sow nor reap. They have no store or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than the birds? So if you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life, since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Or consider the lilies of the field. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass in the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, and thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink, and do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be given to you." And then he goes on to say, and it's a lovely phrase Jesus says to you this morning, and perhaps you're looking in on the internet and you're concerned about something and it's worrying you and you don't know the next move to make. Perhaps you're sitting in church this morning and you're concerned and you're worried about something and it's overwhelming you. And it's all to do with, what am I going to do if I don't have the money for this, if I don't have the money for that? What would happen if I just stepped out of this situation and trusted God? Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted. For where no thief comes near and no moth destroys, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And there is the answer that Jesus gives to those in need. For those who are in need and those who have plenty, if those who have plenty share what they have with those in need, the kingdom has come. The kingdom has come. So are you going to be like the big machine that gathers up everything, gathers it up? Are you going to be like James and his plough and his horses, taking what's needed and putting something back? Are you going to build a new house, a bigger house, a better house? Are you going to go for something that's bigger and better and more wonderful? But you're going to have to leave it behind one day. It's going to rust. And how are you going to feel when it gets the first big bash in it? Greatest lesson I ever, and this is nothing to do with Martha, it's not a quip at Martha, it's just a fact that happened. As you all know, I'm not the best driver either, so I don't criticise Martha. But the very first car we got, brand new car, 1983, Toyota Camry. Square Deal Motors in Falkirk were giving you a deal that was a real square deal, no percent interest. And your minister goes off and he buys his new car. He's so proud of it. And there's a big skip outside the church there. And Martha's just coming out of the mother and toddlers group. And you know these skips, they're actually quite hard to just focus right. Because remember these skips, I don't know if they still have, remember they used to be like boats and that big bit that went right into the side and you could quite easily just skim it. And there was Martha, she just skimmed the car and it was just a big scratch all the way down and dented. A new car,
wasn't he very new? And then 2 weeks later, Stephen, you know that orange juice we used to always drink that is full of all the wrong things, the ease. Stephen, and it was lovely grey posh seats. Stephen spewed up on it. And the grey seats, you could never get that orange juice out of those seats. We got rid of the smell, but the stain was there. Why do we get so upset? And I was upset about all that. It's not worth worrying about, is it? Get things in focus, Jesus says. Get your priorities right. Focus it down. Stop worrying about these things. The arguments that we have in our homes are about things that don't matter. How many discussions and arguments and worries have you had in your home about things that don't matter? Set your heart on what does matter. Trust God. And share what you have. And see the glory been revealed. Put worship at the center of your life. Put God first. Worship Him. And all these things will be added unto you. Harvest Sunday. The harvest is great. And the labourers are few. The message is wonderful. But who's going to hear it unless we tell it? Who can you bring along to hear the message? Maybe there's someone out there on the internet this morning and God's calling you here, just saying, come, you're welcome. There's children, there's families. It's lovely to see the children come here. Lovely to see some of the teenagers coming around on a Sunday to help out. Making them welcome. That they might worship God too. They might hear the word and be changed. That we might be reminded again this morning and be changed. We're not going to idol worship anymore. We're going to seek God and His kingdom first. And we're going to look at the harvest. And we're going to offer ourselves in service. And that takes us into next week's sermon. So I'm not going to go there. But that takes us from there to there. I'm always tempted to leave these up because the children just loved it this morning. They came in and they were praising the Lord with the castanets and all the things in that area. And someone else was drawing a picture and showing me how pleased they were. That's my picture, Mr. Bogle. That's my picture. I wonder if we're missing a trick. And someone else said to me, Albert, why did we put the seats back? Can we put the seats away again? Can we bring the tables out again during the week? And can we have the cafe during the week? And I think, well, why can't we? Is there anything stopping us? Not really. Lots for us to go away and think about this morning. Seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.